So it is a big day. There's a lot for us to celebrate. There's a big deal, the fact that 20 years ago today, this church was finished, this church was blessed, this beautiful structure, which, thank you God, did stay standing in the storm. It was strongly built. It was built on rock. We celebrate what it stands for. We celebrate what it is. I will leave the readings alone just for a moment, but don't miss that message of the readings, that mystery of suffering, that mystery that suffering has a role to play in our lives, in our salvation. Especially after you go through a hurricane, sometimes we lose so many things, we suffer, we're asking God why, and there's Jesus crucified offering us a share in that cup of suffering, an invitation to offer to Him, with Him, through Him, our own sufferings. We celebrate the church, we celebrate the building of the church, we more importantly celebrate a renewal in the church that isn't just a passive building, it's a living community, that gathering, right? The church is not just a fixed assembly of brick and mortar, it's a gathering and an assembling that God is doing. You and I are the church. So I was kind of thinking through, like, how do you talk about both the church and in this year of St. Joseph, which is reaching its end early December? We started on December 8th, we'll finish it on December 8th. How do you talk about St. Joseph, and what does St. Joseph and the church have in common? And the one thing I just want to fix on and focus on is that mystery that's always good for us to delve deeper into. That our salvation, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the second person of the Holy Trinity, did not just say, okay, everybody, here I am for everybody all at once, snap my fingers, and you're all saved, done. He entrusted salvation to a few to bring it to the many. He entrusted it. From the very beginnings, salvation was entrusted to human instruments, to Joseph, the protector of Jesus, the foster father of Jesus. It was entrusted. You didn't get to Jesus without going through Joseph. Any dad will say, you don't touch my precious ones without going through me first. As Jesus was then, in turn, years later, in passing on the mystery of salvation, he gave it not to everybody all at once, snapping his fingers, he said to his apostles, as the Father has sent me, so I now send you, and entrust my salvation, my kingdom, my mercy. It will reach everyone. I want it to reach everyone, but it will do so through you. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever's sins you forgive are forgiven them. So the mystery of our salvation, just that simple fact that it was entrusted. And three roles I think we can learn from St. Joseph as how we should be that church entrusted with this great treasure, this great mystery. St. Joseph, and like him, with him, the church, each one of us, is protector, provider, and bear with me, but servant, leader, the way Jesus describes the leaders. The rulers of this world, they lord their authority over their subjects. It shall not be so among you. My leaders will be servants. So, protector, provider, servant, leader. So think that through a little bit, just that role of St. Joseph as protector. Obviously, the protector of a family. Jesus is hardly a babe when he's entrusted to Joseph, the Holy Family. It's under his protection. It's under his watch. He has to keep watch. He has to stay alert. Remember the story. He started off not in Nazareth where he had everything prepared. They had to get to Bethlehem. There's no room in the inn. There are thieves, there are robbers, there's people to take advantage, people waiting to charge higher prices for their services. We can relate to that. He wards off, he protects the Holy Family from those enemies. When there's a knock at the door, you don't think he says, Mary, can you get that? No, he's first. Whoever it is it going to be robbers looking to take whatever they have? Oh, it's shepherds. Then it's the Magi. He protects the Holy Family. He filters what comes in and what doesn't come in. And then they're going to Egypt because they have to flee to Egypt. He leads them in the darkness. It says they didn't wait till morning, till the next caravan. They went off at night. You don't do that normally. It's probably the scariest journey of Joseph's life. And he did it. He took the risk. He protected them. He gets to Egypt. Anybody speak Egyptian? He has to learn the language. He has to find a job. He has to do what he has to do to protect that tremendous, priceless treasure. God's only Son, the salvation of the world, was entrusted to His protection. The church does the same thing. Our Lord entrusted everything to the apostles. They went off. And does the whole world welcome that salvation? No. Within 10 years, there's persecutions. There's enemies trying to stomp it out and abort it before it even gets started. Before it's hardly been born, there's an effort to stomp it out, to kill it, get rid of that weed in the world. Whether it's Herod or the Roman leaders, and for centuries, there's persecution. There's that physical protecting of the community of the church. There's a physical laying down my life before I betray the message of Christ. And so many martyrs in the first 10, 15, 20, 50 years, 500 years, laying down their lives to protect that treasure. But not just the physical, but also like just the teaching, the way of Jesus Christ, the truths that were given us. It's this way, it's not that way. Don't go that way. Stay over here. Stay on the way of Jesus Christ. Early on, it's already written in the Acts of the Apostles, there was a division in the early communities. The ultra-conservative, you could say, Jewish converts to Christianity were like, well, these pagan converts, these Gentiles, these Greeks, they weren't circumcised, they're not living according to the Torah of Moses. They need to live the Torah to be saved. They need to be circumcised to be saved. And right away, the church was there to protect against one ultra-conservative tension and to hold us on track, to keep that message intact. This is the way of Jesus, this is not. Not long afterwards, there are other more, you know, new and novel and liberal ideas. Well, what about this? What if we were wrong? What if Jesus was, you know, just a human being and not really God? Because that'd be a lot to believe in. He looked like a man. He died like a man. Maybe he's some sort of in-between thing. And the church was there to protect against that extreme and to hold tight to the treasure and the teaching that was entrusted to her protection. Speaking of statues, I don't know if you all know, but in like in the 700s, 800s, whenever it was, the iconoclast, icons, like smashing icons. It was a thing because you shouldn't, like the Old Testament says, thou shalt not make a graven image. So early on, there was like, oh, all these statues, you should destroy them. No statues. And the church was there to say, hey guys, that's a little radical. We get it, but as soon as God takes a human body, that human body can be represented in statues, in paintings, in art, in icons. And along with him, the saints, which is why we do have statues today. The church was there to guide us. One last one, just because it is often coming up, like, am I saved by just having pure faith in Jesus and what I do doesn't matter? My works don't matter? Or am I saved because of the good things I do? And if I do enough good things, if I get everything right, then I'll be saved? Or isn't this somewhere of a in between the extremes, the church guides us to a salvation that is both through faith and works that reflect our faith. The church has been there in the long 2,000-year history, guiding us like a ship navigating through extremes and waters on both sides, storms on both sides, holding us on course. It's an image. St. Joseph, like the church, that image of strength, steadfastness. I don't think there's any other human-ish institution that has lasted 2,000 years. Not a single empire. And yet the church of our Lord is there protecting all that was entrusted to her. So the church, like St. Joseph, is the protector, the guardian of the treasure of our Lord. She's also, like St. Joseph, the provider for the family. She provides, nourishes, takes care, feeds it well. How many times parents are like tempted, like when the kid is asking for the 20th cookie, to say, oh my gosh, just have the cookie, leave me alone, and get your stomach ache. But then you nourish your children rightly. You give them the vegetables that they don't want to take. And the church is there, like that mother in good times and bad times, like that foster father. Here's the good stuff, and here's the challenging stuff too. I'm here to feed all of it to you. At your pace, I'll meet you where you are, but you need to eat all of it, the vegetables too. The hard stuff, the challenging stuff, the virtues you need to grow in, the weakness of will, the purity of mind and heart. The church is there to nourish us on the word of Christ, the teachings of Christ, all of them, the whole platter, not just pick and choose like your cafeteria, the whole word of God. And the church is there to nourish us on literally his body, and his blood. Feed on me, he says. Whoever feeds on me will have life because of me. Our Lord says to drink from his cup. The church provides because the church herself is that cup from which we drink the blood of Christ. We drink from his suffering. We share his suffering and share ours to his through the church. That's why St. Paul could say, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, vessels of clay. Not the shiny, sparkly ones that have no flaws, no warts, no imperfections. Vessels of clay. Raise your hand if you've heard of sins of members of the church. Anybody heard of sins of members of the church? Look in the mirror, guys. That's us. And yes, thankfully, or rather, sadly, in the news as well. An earthen vessel doesn't always shine, but it always carries that priceless treasure. Remember Jesus, the Word of God, the salvation given to us by God. How was he known? As the son of an emperor, the son of a king? No, he was the son of a carpenter. And how much of a moment of shame that seemed to be for his listeners. Wait, the son of a carpenter? Isn't he the carpenter's son? How could it be our Savior? He's the son of a carpenter. From Nazareth, guys. Might as well be from Uptown or something. I don't know. Just kidding. I was going to say Luling. I had to catch myself. Anyway. But that salvation comes in unexpected ways. Wait, salvation is through the Catholic Church? Wait, the Catholic Church? Are you serious? You're joking, right? Have you seen the newspapers recently? That's the way to salvation? That's the cup? That's the vessel that holds the treasures divine? It's a very earthen vessel sometimes. Very human sometimes. And sometimes the humanity kind of saddens us to see the sins and the failures of ourselves as members of the church and of others who've done awful things. But the treasure's still there, still to be found there. The word of Christ, the teachings of Christ in their fullness, the universal teachings of Christ. That's why that word Catholic, that's why we use that word. And the sacraments, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the baptism, the holy orders given to the priests so that they can feed us unfailingly, hopefully, with those gifts, with that nourishment. She nourishes the body and the soul. She's there to provide food and supplies in a hurricane, even Wi-Fi, that's pretty cool, but also other ways that she nourishes us, like a good foster father, a good mother. St. Joseph teaches us how to provide, how to be a vessel, even one of clay, and yet carry a priceless gift. A lot of times we can go to God and say, wait, God, why would you choose me to be a messenger of your salvation? Why would you choose me to be a witness? Don't you know my sins? Don't you know my shortcomings? Like, just for what it's worth, we can all say that, but it starts with St. Joseph. How could you choose me? And yet he does. Y'all have heard it a million times, right? He doesn't choose the qualified. He qualifies those he's chosen. And that's you and me. The church entrusted with providing salvation to all people because it's meant for all people. It's just entrusted to us to protect it from twisting, to provide all of it through ourselves, not reducing it to less than it really is. A little highlight because we're starting on Tuesday nights now, an opportunity for adults especially to grow in faith and fellowship, to learn that faith, to be able to provide it better. Not to filter out these things that, well, I don't understand that, so I'm not going to teach it. Well, start to understand it because you're held responsible for passing it on faithfully. All of it. Well, I'm just going to feed the kids the dessert because that's the easy part that I understand. I'm not going to give the hard teachings because I might lose friends that way. You're a parent. You don't have that option. If I don't understand the hard ones, I need to grow in my understanding. I need to ask the questions and get the answers. To know the way of Christ and pass it on faithfully, fully, universally. Lastly, and just to touch on this, the reality that role that we play, like St. Joseph, as leaders, but servant leaders. We lead from below. We take the lower spot. St. John the Baptist has a beautiful phrase, he must increase, I must decrease. Christ and my brothers and sisters must increase at my expense. I'll take the hit. I'll show them what love looks like, even though it hurts me. I'll show them what his truth looks like, witnessed by my life, even though it's kind of hard for me. I'll give that witness. I won't ask them to do and put a teaching on them to follow that I won't follow myself, but I will follow it first. Remember, we talked about this last week with the rich young man. Jesus asked a lot of his followers, go sell all that you own, then come follow me. But he had already done it himself first, given up everything for us. That's how a leader works. You give up, you do it first. Don't ask anything of others that you're not willing to do yourself, especially in the ways of our Lord. One thing I noticed when you think about serving from beneath, serving from the lower places, like the church really does strive not to lord over others any authority. It could. St. Paul actually says, I could if I wanted to, but I choose to serve because that's the way of our Lord. But notice this, because even as our church presents teachings and challenges and hard things, we all know it. Like, we still sometimes break those rules, disdain those rules, write articles in the newspaper against the stupidity of the church, and we put it out there. Does the door to confession ever close on you or me? Am I still welcome back? Does it seem like the church can be walked on? Parents, can you sometimes be walked on by your children? Yes, right? It hurts, but you do it. The church is there, doors always open for us to come back to confession, come back to God's mercy, come back to the sacraments. Never shut in your face. It's never been shut in my face. That's the kind of leadership the church has. That's the way that she wields her authority, hopefully with humility. We all know that if we search history deeply enough, we probably will find, and we have found, a few leaders who didn't wield their authority the way Jesus taught. But that is the model our Lord does give us. It's the model of a servant who leads from below, willing to suffer, willing to take the hit for the ones we love. How many people in the church offer their sufferings every day for those who are not able or not willing to drink that cup with our Lord? And they say, Lord, let me take their place. Take my suffering and use it for their salvation. Anyway, just an invitation. We have a lot that we can learn as that church whose anniversary we celebrate today. The building, but more importantly, a renewal in us, the people of the church, the gathering of the church, the ones God is assembling into his temple in our lives, through our lives. We can learn a lot from St. Joseph, how to be those protectors, how to be those providers, how to be those leaders who serve. I live to pass on, to protect, to provide, to serve a salvation and a message that is greater than myself. May I do everything I can to fulfill that mission, to be faithful to that witness, to take that light that was given to me and put it on a lampstand of my hopefully good formation or growing formation, not bury it under the bushel basket of my own failures because I didn't even try. May our Blessed Mother intercede for us. She watched the mystery of mysteries that so much was entrusted to such small people. St. Joseph was the first to say, I am a mess. We are all a mess. Raise your hand if you're a mess sometimes. Anybody a mess? As a parent, as a child? I lay down my mess for you. We lay down our mess for one another. We are earthen vessels, and that earth can aggravate us. That clay can be fissured and fractured and fragile, and yet we give all of it. We give all that we have to give for that treasure to reach as many people as it can. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.